Hey guys, welcome back to Europe is Coming. My name is Vicky McLeod. This time, John and I talk about the trouble with Teams, the new proven mega gym, and why, if he started all over again, he would emulate Rich Froning. Hope you enjoy it.
I'm signed up and in.
Are you?
Yeah, I am signed up.
How many will this make it?
How many have I done? I've done all of them, but I think officially I'm like 12 or something. Because I missed, when they did the double year, I didn't sign up to the double year. When they put kind of two in 1 year.
Did they also the second one twice?
Yeah, I think every open sign up you get. No, I was, the reason, because I changed it, you could always qualify or get points towards your team. So I'd always try for the gym to get points in. And then when they took that away, I didn't sign up because I was like, well, I'm not going to go individually. Or I always liked the idea of trying to help contribute to the gym, trying to get through to the next stage. So that was always a big incentive for me to sign up.
It doesn't happen like that anymore, though.
Now it does. Now they moved it back with their changes. So now you could, now if you wanted to sign up to the team, you could kind of help them get through to the next stage and be on the athlete roster and things.
I did not know that. I thought it only counted to like the people that were actually on the team.
No, so you can sign up. So now in the rule book, like if you do the open at the gym, the affiliates, and sign up for the team there, you can then be as like used as an alternate throughout the whole season. I believe until like after check-in at the CrossFit Games until the first briefing is like the time when you can change athletes around, as long as they've been kind of ticked all the boxes, which is doing the open in the same gym as everyone else or the same affiliate.
And again, the big question is, what is your why? Everybody's doing that at the moment. That's a big CrossFit marketing push. What's yours?
I think it's just a really nice baseline to see where I am. It's kind of like a yearly check-in to see where my fitness is, to be able to just push. You know, I still enjoy throwing down. And I still enjoy having this like little bit of motivation, you know, like is my pulling gymnastics there? How's my strength? So it's just that little bit of motivation through the year. And, you know, also I feel very much a part of the CrossFit community. So I do want to support that. And I think that the open's used as a bit of a health monitor by a lot of people. So if I can contribute to that in some way, then they'd like to do so.
The program is sponsoring CrossFit España for the open.
Yeah, how's exactly. So I hope well. we just wanted to partner with CrossFit. Before CrossFit España was a thing, we were like very supportive of CrossFit in Spain. And so any opportunity we have to be able to do something together, we want to be able to help.
How will it materialize your support through the actual open?
Basically, it's just visuals on, I think, the open announcement. I'm not actually 100% sure of how it's going to fully come together. We did shoot some content. Hector was on the island, one of the videographers across España. So we shot some content, more of like kind of a comedy style, to encourage people to sign up. And I believe there'll be some visual elements placed at some point. But I have to be honest, I'm not 100% sure of the full criteria.
There's an element of making it up as you go along, as is the best creative process.
It's just, literally the intention was, okay, how can we help? This is a way we can help. And so that's kind of how we went into it, without worrying too much about the exact specifics of what we're going to receive.
Okay, well, keep my eyes open. And talking of CrossFit in Spain, said the Pamplona Games, the Pixel Pamplona, I should say. I didn't know much about it before, but I've been looking at it online and it looks a really successful event.
Yeah, the people I've spoken to are there, like, loved it. We were supposed to have two athletes, Luca and Ella, competing. Unfortunately, like, Luca picked up, I think it was like post-COVID, so he really struggled with breathing. And then Ella, unfortunately, has a bit of an injury. So we were supposed to be going, and I'd love to go. As you say, people talked really highly of it. It looked like a great event. And like anything within this ecosystem, I think it's just important that those events can be successful. And that's not an easy thing to do.
Not a surprise that Karen,
yeah.
One is looking pretty dominant.
Yeah, Karen arguably had a pretty easy weekend. You know, she's a top 10 games athlete, and so there aren't too many people who can topple her on an event like that. But then Aldis, who's like multiple time games athlete, he's definitely an athlete that flies off the radar. You know, he flies under the radar. He's just really doesn't get much recognition, but he's very legit. But he had a hard time against Daniel, who's like local homeboy. They were tied on points. So I believe it's just a tie break that took Aldis to get the win. But so it was an exciting race on the male side.
And you know Alex Koutoulas as well.
Yeah, I mean, Alex Koutoulas is OG. He's been around in the sport for probably a decade. And he's, you know, he's one that you'd like to see kind of get through to the games one time. He's been so close. And he's just always there, like close, but has never made it. So it'd be really nice to see him get through. He's got great conditioning, good gymnastics. It's just strength has always let him down. And because the sport's kind of trended towards stronger athletes, he's just been left on the fringe of that.
Mr. Castro talking the other day about programming for the Open and programming for the Games, and he says that he's not going to be programming exactly, but it does sound like he was going to be having a hand in it. I wonder if now that he's back on the scene, how the programming for that will change from the Oz years.
Yeah, I think when you listen to how he said it, I think he's going to have more than a little hand. Yeah, it was like, I'm not programming, but I'm going to make sure that I control all of the programming. You know, it's like a funny way to phrase the statement. But you know, Castro has had varied programming over the years, so it is very hard to predict what he's going to do. And I think he's thrived on being unpredictable through his programming, introducing new elements, keeping people guessing. So, you know, I think he's thrived on the component of the unknown and unknowable. So my guess is there will be, you know, some variants.
Looking at the Open programming, I wonder if we can think of a new movement that will come in. I think a lot of people are saying crossovers, as in like in the Open.
I mean, these can be fun games, but it's just impossible to predict, you know, there's whatever it may be. I mean, there's so many movements that you could choose from that it's just an impossible guessing game. See what may come up. The Open now has had so many movements programmed as well that even if they didn't introduce a new movement, it would still be very hard. I remember like back in when the Open first was, like in 2011 and times of that, people would kind of plan out all the movements that we've seen. But obviously now, like 13 years later, or however long it is, you just like lose, you know, it's just impossible list to go through, you know, you toes to bar and double under as well. You've also had like, you know, heavy lifting and machines and whatever it may be. So yeah, the predicting of the movements is always a tricky one.
I like reading, is it Mike Halpin, your mate?
Yeah, he helps with lane eight. Yeah.
Yeah, lane eight guy. Hello, Mike. I liked reading his article. It was in the Morning Chalk Up. It was like basically very tongue-in-cheek about he's got no more wall walks, which I have to say I totally agree with.
He's doing a great job. He's great for, we chat sometimes on Instagram. He does a great job of tracking the data of Open sign-ups. And he presents it in a really nice way. So he's like great work if he is listening on how he presents.
40,000 sign-ups behind at the moment from last year to this year. But as we were talking about before, registration started a lot later.
Yeah, I think that sign-ups will be, you know, surpass it, like second or third highest year. Is probably what we will see. Now, 2018, and people talk about 2018 as the peak of CrossFit, and I think the Open sign-up numbers are one of the reasons why, because it was the highest year. Then they had this kind of double Open, lots of things changed, things dropped off, and then since they reintroduced it in its typical way, it's seen consistent growth over that time as well.
Is signing up for the Open sign of success for CrossFit?
I think it's one sign of success because, you know, it's a good test of like how many people want to join in CrossFit's biggest community event of the year. It's like how many people want to come to the party. So it is a good test of that. And there's no upward limit because it's online. So there's no real restrictive reasons why people can't sign up. That affiliate growth is also, you know, a very easy number to track. So there are some, it's like a simple metric that you can use to kind of measure some degree of the health of the sport.
So if they don't reach good numbers, in inverted commas, what does that say?
It says that there's no the CrossFit Open isn't growing. It's like the implications of that then are people don't care as much about online competitions. What it kind of can lead down a number of roads as to why that may not have happened. But it's just not a positive indicator that sport's growing if open signups don't increase.
I mean, how much, there's a lot of pressure on the affiliate owners to sign people up, I'm sure, as in like some, there's a league table of who's got the most signups. Do you know if they get any kind of incentive for that?
No. So the gym owners aren't incentivized to have people sign up. And I do think that's, you know, there are lots of different models. Like, should gym owners get incentivized? Should they get something from each sign up? Because, you know, some of the gyms have hundreds of signups. Mm-hmm. And, you know, should they get some kind of reward based on the number of people sign up? I don't know. It's a whole different model. But most gyms get people to sign up because they want to have that community event over the 3 weeks and just be a part of it.
Community events are fab. It's a great way to get everyone together. Just wondering why, you know, there's maybe ways to encourage people to do it. A gym in Brazil, more than 300. I saw on Mike's article. That's pretty impressive. Imagine how long that's going to take to do.
Yeah. I remember once I was actually living in Argentina, and it was one where Castro like threw the watch away at the end because it wasn't for time, it was just for completion. And I was actually judging this girl, and we were there for like, it was like 55 minutes or something for her to complete the workout. And it was just, you know, hopefully they kind of learn from some of those things. I think it was like a fun novelty thing at when he did it. But the reality is then this, you know, gym owners get people who are just wanting to go through and complete the workout. And it could take ages to do.
And they also mentioned that there's no equipment list this year for the Open. So that is the limit.
Yeah, I have no idea why. They did say it would be easier, but then they, you know, I don't think it's going to be floor plans. I think they said there's going to be like safety regulations as opposed to floor plans, but we shall see. I think it's a good move. Like, I don't see what's wrong with having an equipment list because it just puts gym owners' minds at rest knowing that they have everything. But I do think the floor plan thing is really good to get rid of, because having to take the floor and do all of that for multiple people is, you know, it's not the funnest thing to do as a gym owner.
Okay, so let's talk about the teams that have been announced recently and people are starting to get themselves organised. What do you think about the news?
Yeah, we've seen a couple of teams from Australia. I believe two Mayhem teams, one led by Royce from CrossFit Torian, and then you've got Cara Saunders on another team. I think that, like, combined, that might have been like a really epic team. But with divided, it might mean they don't have enough kind of firepower to be able to push to at least the top of the podium, or maybe even the podium. It's just like, you know, it's just stronger. If you could take kind of the stronger athletes from both teams and combine them into one, it would kind of make this epic super team. We've got like a European, I suppose, New Zealand hybrid team with Christoph, Mia, Jamie and Elliot, which is, you know, Mia obviously went to the games last year in the team, super strong, great team athlete. Christoph as well, you know, we always spoke about when he was here, spoke about going team. I think he's a great asset to the team. And then Jamie and Elliot, who've focused mainly on individual career. But I actually think they, you know, 2000 and maybe 16, they were in CrossFit Yaz when they went to the games. I think it was like the 6-person team. I'd have to fact check that, but I actually think they may have been to the games together in a team quite a while ago.
But they also have competed quite a lot as a team, so they have actually got experience as a team already, which is a good start.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure they'll get lots of training in together anyway, so it could be like a good opportunity for them. They could do well. I think that we'll see some really strong US teams. Like Peak 360 announced like three members. So you've got Olsen, Toller, and then Lena. Like Toller and Lena have both been like podium of the games on a team. So, you know, I mean, just solid athletes there straight away. Then you add Olsen, you know, one of the legends of the sport. You presume they're going to get another good female on there, and that's going to be arguably like at least podium, if not winning potential. And I hear Victus are looking to put together a strong team again this year. So again, that could be another podium potential. So I think teams will be pretty solid. One thing that's going to be interesting this year as well is you've got just individuals and teams at the games. So it might draw more attention onto the team aspect than it has in previous years as well.
I think teams, from a spectator's point of view, it's like really cool watching them supporting each other and the way that they work together. But it's actually really hard sometimes to follow who's in the lead and what's happening because it's so many people moving at one time.
Yeah, and this is what's crucial for the sport to evolve. It needs to be easy to follow. Individuals, teams, even individual events, like watching Linda at semi-finals, I think it was a great workout, but really hard to follow what was happening. And I think this simple concept of moving something from A to B or moving through stations A to B, just, you know, it's a very simple formula that, and as you say, with team, it gets even more complex because you've got back, forth, four people on the floor. It's just hard to know what's happening.
Well, let's hope that they've factored in a bit more budget for media so they can cover it properly, because they'll need a lot of cameras. And finally, let's talk about something that is developing at the moment. It's like a mega gym being built in Nashville. You were telling me about that you are admiring.
Yeah, so Proven just opened their affiliate. And what we've seen over the years is like training camp argument of CrossFit. And I think, you know, I would like to think that we were one of the first kind of training camps to bring people over, have this idea of living together, developing that. And then Bergeron with CompTrain really then went into the public eye and started talking about this academy, building out this big space, having elite athletes move over. The trouble was that kind of like flopped. And we've never had the same level of resources as some of the US-based programs in order to do something big, which is maybe a blessing and a curse in the sense that, you know, it's meant we've had to work within our limits. But at the same time, we could never push to do something as Proven have done. I mean, they built brought a whole building worth millions of dollars. You know, it's like 20,000 square foot or something like that. I mean, it's huge, like 2,000 square meters. It's just this massive space for the athletes.
Is it being sponsored or is that actually Proven?
I have no idea of the financials behind it. So hard work pays off. I think did something maybe clever in the sense that Fraser probably had the ability to bankroll something similar to what Proven are doing, but they took like a smaller approach, you know. They've got a cool gym, but it's not like, you know, it's not this 2,000 square meter facility fully decked out in the center of a thriving city. So they're very different concepts. And I think that, you know, and I really hope that it is successful, because often with these things, if they're successful, it leads and, you know, kind of opens up the pathway for more of these things to be successful. And I think that can help the sport to grow in a good way. So I do hope that it can grow and develop. I think the only one that has been successful so far is the empire that is Mayhem. What they've built is pretty incredible. You know, Froning even has his own road, you know, named after him. Yeah. Wow. They keep expanding, and obviously it started in the barn. They have their affiliate. They have this like extra athlete only place. But this has been really built up since 2000, like, I don't know when Froning started CrossFit, but like 2009, something like that. You know, he had the barn, he had the affiliate. And so over like 14 years, this empire has been built. Hard work pays off. I'd say did like a smaller, safer step in building out this facility. And then Proven have kind of come along and gone like, well, let's bring out something the size of Mayhem. Maybe not even as big as Mayhem, but, you know, let's go for it. Let's try and up this level without necessarily the years in order to get there. And the only way you can skip those steps is with a lot of money.
Go big or go home kind of situation.
Go big or go home. And they went big. So that's going to be an interesting journey to follow. And they're obviously trying to run, they've got their training program side of things, but they've also got their affiliate side of things. So I imagine that they will have to try and make it work kind of financially with members and making the gym profitable.
Huge responsibility, risk, and you've had an affiliate, a lot of work.
Yeah, you know, we had an affiliate, and luckily through Yanis, we got our exit out. The big thing for me on that was just time, stress and time, that I could just focus on what we do, which is like programming for athletes and working with athletes, and not have this distraction of the physical location. It was a really big learning curve. And I like to think that I took out lots of valuable lessons from having the gym over 3 years. It was also a really shit time to have a physical location because of COVID. Our opening was literally like as COVID came down. So it wasn't the easiest time to have a physical location, but it made me appreciate not having a physical location.
Well, how far from Nashville is Fort Worth?
Closer than Spain. Yeah, it's one of the places I love to check out. You know, there's a few gyms on the list that I've not been to. Well, more so now, but the Froning's Barn is probably top of the list. I'd love to. I'd love to go to Froning's Barn. That's like just from watching videos and things back in the day.
It'd
be a cool experience. It maybe I'd like to think that I could, but I don't know. I've never tried. One day I would. That's one place I'd like to go and hit a workout.
I remember being in the vendor village at the games in when I was there in 2022, and coming around the corner, and there was just like a mayhem wall. It was just a wall of t-shirts. It was just like huge merchandising. It was the biggest thing in there. It was massive.
I don't refer to it as like an empire lightly. You know, those guys have done a great job. They really have built something. And I think the fact that they have built it over years off the back of Froning is one of the reasons that's made it so successful.
If you were building a CrossFit business now, which one would you use as the model? Mayhem, hard work pays off, or Proven as a business model, not as a coaching model?
I think it'd be hard. Like Mayhem would be the choice, and I like the fact they've built up slowly over the years. They've taken what seems like sensible steps. They've also been, you know, they have the ability to do things in a big way. They can bring lots of athletes over at a time, get their attention. That has its advantages and disadvantages, and everyone is learning in the space of the best way to do things. We've been through this kind of live-in training camp. We're trying a new model now. The one thing I feel very confident is that we can really give really good attention to the athletes that we work with. This kind of one-to-one attention is something we can really prioritize right now.
Thank you, John. Next week, we start a series of interviews with brands who are busy in the CrossFit world. We talk about their stories and how they see CrossFit and their businesses developing together. Please don't forget to leave us a 5-star review. It all helps the show to grow. Until next time, thanks for listening and bye-bye.